You're listening to Baino Leakage, episode 79, Hearing the Music. You are listening to this episode while I travel to Cancun. So I'm going to do my best to unplug from technology this whole week. I'm taking some books, magazines, other stuff. Not taking my laptop, which 6-day trip, that's pretty good for trying to unplug. It also means that there won't be any complaints from me about the weather, which I'll be experiencing during this week, which is predicted to be in the low 80s. Yeah, pretty nice. So with that, let's start the news. AC/DC recruits Axl Rose as lead singer for remaining tour dates. So some weeks ago, there was a lot of rumors and with Guns N' Roses, which actually came true. Axl, Slash, and Duff and other Guns N' Roses members reunited. But there was other rumors based on pictures and coming out of a recording studio in Atlanta, and they showed members of AC/DC, and they showed Axl Rose, and the rock community pretty much just kind of let it go, you know. I mean, they ran with the rumor. They thought, really? And then eventually, they kind of like, well, it looks like Axl Rose is rehearsing with AC/DC. You know, does that mean he's the new lead singer? And a lot of people, including prominent radio guy Eddie Trunk, were like, no. But Eddie Trunk met with Axl Rose at one of the Las Vegas Guns N' Roses dates and was told, yep, I'm the new lead singer for AC/DC. Well, now, it's not a permanent lead singing position. It's more of a, they have these tour dates to finish. So if any of you have followed the story, let me give you kind of a brief little thing here. So the AC/DC was on tour, a lot of stadium dates and everything, and then all of a sudden they postponed dates, and they released a statement about a longtime lead singer Brian Johnson, who had some hearing issues. So they postponed the dates, and the rumor mill started again, are they going to fire him or are they going to let him heal and tour with him, or what's going on? So after a lot of more back and forth, Brian did Axl announced that he was doing dates. Angus Young actually got on stage for a couple songs with Riff Raff and Whole Lotta Rosie with Guns N' Roses with Axl on vocals, so kind of a preview of what Axl could give us on tour. And Brian Johnson kind of stayed silent a little bit. There was a couple rumors with comedian Jim Brewer. I guess they're friends. And it was kind of a mess for a while. Brian eventually released his own statement talking about his hearing issues and his 36 years in AC/DC and all that. So I'm not sure if he's still a member of the band or not. I would hope so. God, I mean, after 36 years and many albums and tours and everything like that, I mean, he was a major part of the band, so we'll see what happens here. There's both European and U.S. dates. All the dates do not interfere with any of the Guns N' Roses dates, so which Axl's going to work his ass off here, with the singing and trying to, and he broke his foot. So, he's got that. Hopefully that heals so that he can be a little more mobile on these on the tours. But, oh, my gosh, yeah, pretty crazy. But, yes, Axl Rose is the temporary lead singer for AC/DC. Just when you think rock can't get any odder, there you go. Legendary pop and R&B artist Prince dead at age 57. Huh. Oh my God, yeah. On April 21st, a little more than a week ago, I got a text from my friend Chris, and usually I'm pretty caught up on Twitter to understand a lot of, to get like latest news and everything. And I wasn't. I was busy that morning with a couple things. And so anyway, I get to work and I sit down, and Chris sends me this text like, what? with a link to a story about Prince. Prince is dead. And I'm like, oh. So I got on the web, got on Twitter, you know, kind of, and, you know, there was rumors, you know, and a lot of the rumors were, you know, someone at the Paisley Park complex in Minneapolis, where Prince records in his home and everything, talked about someone, you know, being found unconscious. Anyway, give another, you know, probably half hour or so after that, you know, the publicist did confirm Prince had died at age 57. He was found in an elevator, and, you know, the days before, he had, like a week before, a little more than a week before, he had to cancel some these concerts that he did. The concerts were him and a piano. It was more like an acoustic tour that he was doing, and so he had a couple dates that he had to cancel, and then coming back from one of the dates, they had to make an emergency stop in Illinois at a hospital where he was found to have like flu-like symptoms. So anyway, so what happened was, you know, they actually rescheduled the couple dates. So his last, literally his, one of his last concert dates was about a week before he died in Atlanta. And, you know, everyone that was at that show that reported said he was fine and there was no issues, but obviously there was going on. You know, there's some rumors about, you know, him being on painkillers. You know, for years he walked with a cane cause he had, hip problems and leg problems. I would say that, a lot of it is probably maybe the high heels he wore, things like that. That's kind of the rumors that I was reading, with everything. But yeah, by, you know, on Thursday, April 21st, by noon, you know, the rumors were true, and, you know, it was very sad. I already blogged about this in one of my Music Monday posts. I only got to see him live twice, both in the same night. Once at a big concert venue here in Salt Lake in April of 2001. And then he did an after show where I actually, just the pure fate, I got to stand next to him for 30 seconds. You know, it wasn't, I didn't say anything. I didn't take a picture. I didn't, you know, nothing. I just stood next to him, and he's quite short. He's only 5'2". So I'm 5'9". So, you know, it's, but it was, you know, it was kind of cool. And I wish I would have seen him live more often. I have a lot of friends that are much bigger fans than I am. I've been a fan of his music since his first album, since his debut album. So, you know, to have this artist, you know, and all these years of music and everything, and, you know, just being a fan, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's shocking, you know. I expected him to live into his 80s, but, you know, not so. So, you know, rest in peace, Prince. It's, your music will live on. Your performances will be in memory. You know, hopefully some of them will show up on YouTube now. You know, I mean, I know he was pretty big about, you know, pulling down his performances and everything like that. So yeah, well, I guess maybe we'll see more. You know, he's got a whole vault full of unreleased material, years and years of it. So the world lost another, you know, we lost a lot of artists this year. We lost Bowie. We lost Merle Haggard. We lost, you know, a lot of like actors and stuff, and, you know, this untimely death of Prince. So, Prince, thank you for the years of music and everything that you've done for your entertainment. Utah movie theater faces fines for showing Deadpool while patrons drink alcohol. Okay, yeah. So this is a very interesting story. If you're not familiar with Utah and alcohol laws, you know, maybe I'll go into it in another podcast episode. But anyway, back in February, there was a showing of the movie Deadpool at the local movie theater called Broovies. So Broovies, they show movies and serve beer cocktails to those 21 or older. In attendance at this movie were officers from the Utah DABC, the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control. Yeah. It's a state-run government agency that controls liquor sales and consumptions here in the Mormon-controlled state. Fast forward to a week ago when the DABC issued a fine of $25,000 and a 10-day suspension of alcohol serving to breweries for a small couple scenes in the Deadpool movie that showed a bit of nudity and a mock ejaculation, if you will. So, so their claim, you know, the claim is some kind of moral issue. It turns out that there is a state law that says you are supposed to show that you're not supposed to show nudity at an establishment that serves liquor to patrons. So, not that all the violence in the movie is some kind of pass on morals. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's a broad law. The main intent of the law is meant for strip clubs where dancers are completely nude. So we have other strip clubs here that serve liquor, but require the dancers to wear G-strings and pasties over their nipples. But for completely nude dancing, they have no alcohol. So that's kind of what the law is supposed to do. But the interpretation of this law applied to movies is quite the stretch. So these DABC officers obviously knew about this part of the movie and decided to make this a sting operation and apply it to the movie theater. Obviously, the DABC doesn't like breweries. So the theater is suing the state for First Amendment violation. Yes, it's actually, because it's a government law that's controlling people, it is a First Amendment violation. It's not the first time this theater has drawn the ire of the Utah liquor cops, and it's a good bet that it won't be the last, unless breweries can win in court against the liquor control powers that be. So the actor, lead actor in Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, actually donated $5,000 towards the legal fees for this case. Way to go, Ryan. Let's see if Utah can actually look past its all things evil with the liquor control gang to turn this silly law into what it really is, a silly law. A disregard for any legal adult consuming their favorite adult beverages while watching a movie. This week's rant, listening to music on the iPhone has its interruptions. Not sure how many of you use your smartphone for listening to music, but I do and have since I started working downtown and always having my phone with me. I bring headphones and will play songs that I've locally synced to the phone or, more recently, stream from Spotify. And Google Play Music app, which I've uploaded my personal songs up to Google Play Music. So, but each time I get an email, a text message, or some other alert, it interrupts the song I'm listening to by lowering the volume for a couple seconds. This happens multiple times a day since I get a lot of alerts, from people, servers, that kind of thing. I've tried searching for ways to disable the alerting while music is playing, but I've not found any solutions. If a phone call comes in, at least the song pauses while I take the call. Once I am done, music plays again. Pretty cool, but still an interruption. Since I normally listen to music and podcasts with my iPod Nano 7th Gen, I never have dealt with this, but I figure I have this iPhone, 6S Plus, might as well use it, right? I've got a data plan. I get 30 gigs a month. Music is one of the things I like to listen to. Plus, for Christmas, I got a pair of Beats wireless Bluetooth headphones, which are really nice. But, again, each time I get a text alert, most likely from a server, it's a bit on the annoying side to have the song I was enjoying interrupted for those few seconds. I guess that's how things are with a device as connected as a smartphone. And this week's shameless plug, listening to music on an iPod doesn't involve interruptions. So I've carried some sort of iPod to listen to music over the years. But more recently, as I discussed in my rant this week, I've been using an iPhone more often for music to reduce the number of gadgets and electronics I carry with me on a daily basis. Nothing but a low battery or the pressing of a pause button will stop the music on an iPod. Plus, the iPod battery life is a lot longer than my iPhone's, so with the iPhone, I do get access to a lot of streaming music services, which is a plus over the iPod. Searching for new songs, older songs have been nice to have without much effort at all. I've not gotten used to being without my iPod lately, though. Even with the 3 months I had that I used for Apple Music back when it came out last year, so on my iPhone, it's easy to sync music directly to my iPod via iTunes, which I do keep a lot of local music for that purpose. Space-wise, it's only 16 gigs, So I still have my 5th-gen iPod Nano that I use. I normally keep that in the car and listen to that. So I've thought about replacing it with an iPod Touch that has more space. Like, you can get an iPod Touch now with 128 gigs of RAM. But if I enable messaging and I'm on a Wi-Fi network, I will get interrupted alerts on that device just like my iPhone. So the iPod sticks around. Sweet child of mine. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.